Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Okay. I'm just, like, testing something out here, so I'm just calling you to see if it works. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any problem hearing me at all?
No.
It sounds, like, as clear as when I was talking to you earlier?
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Like, clear as pee when you don't, when you just drink, like, water all day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
bye.
Why?
Hello, everyone.
Mooha.
Welcome to episode 5 of Logoria.
O-G-O-R-R-H-E-A.
So how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Basically, after last week's gross fest, I just ain't got any more in me. I just figure this week I'm just...
You've calmed down?
Yeah. I've purged my system. I've cleansed myself.
You're now pure soul?
Right. Enema style. So,
Scientology style?
Basically, instead of doing anything interesting, I thought we would just sit by the fire, and I would just read a page from this book that I'm reading right now.
Do it.
Does that sound suitably dry?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be a new thing for Logoria, is we'll have slow book reading hour, where I'll read books for hours and hours, and you'll listen...
No, we won't.
So here's the book I'm reading right now. I Was a Teenage Dominatrix by Shauna Kenny. One night, I got a request for a brown shower. I thought about how I'd never done one at Miranda's and figured, what the hell? One woman's feces was another man's fetish, right?
I
called up Julianne for advice. And we commiserated, reminisced about the blah, blah, blah. She said to eat nothing but beans and veggies the day before, which is what I usually ate anyway.
Me too. I like where this is going.
Yeah, this could be a new career choice. She said to take a laxative the night before and have the appointment with the guy the first thing in the morning. I followed her instructions to the T. When the gentleman, a doctor,
oh, no.
Possibly named Dan, arrived at 8 a.m., I was a little nervous, but tried not to let it show. He stripped and lay eagerly in the bathtub while my lower abdomen rumbled. I knew the time was near. I unsnapped the crotch of my outfit and hung my white ass over the edge of the tub, facing the sink and toilet away from him, just as Julianne had said. I heard him scoot over. I told him not to make any noise and yelled at him not to touch me, that he was my toilet slut and nothing more. Sharp pains poked my stomach, my body got hot and sweaty, and then I let loose. My only mistake was in looking back. I saw my excrement on his face, and the pig was licking his lips, eating it. I threw up all over him, then turned around and wiped my face with a towel, embarrassed. No extra charge, I said. I remembered Miranda talking about a rare Roman shower fetish, where people liked you to throw up on them. Ugh, who knew why, but they did. This man didn't seem to mind, but I ordered him to take a shower and leave, never to return. He called begging for another session a week later. I asked him straight up, "You're a doctor, right? So tell me, is it safe to eat someone else's shit?" He stammered and hemmed and hawed. Then finally told me that urine is sterile, but fecal matter is not. I don't know why he wanted to do what he did, but I decided I didn't have to be any part of it. I wasn't even interested in his reasons. It was as disgusting as I expected, and I never did it again. I told him off, and he finally stopped calling.
Wow. Is this a true story?
It is. And actually, I deliberately chose the sickest part of the whole book. This really is not representative of what the book is really like. It's actually extremely fascinating. So I heard of this book about 2 years ago. I was a teenage dominatrix, and I was like, that just sounds cool. And I always kept my eyes peeled for it, but I could never find it. I finally found it at a used bookstore downtown somewhere.
Wow.
And yeah, you know that comic book place across from Blaine's?
Yes, that's the greatest place ever.
And basically, it's this chick who was trying to work her way through school. And she started off doing like weird private dancing where she'd like go to guys' hotel rooms and dance naked. She never actually prostituted, but she did do naked dancing and stuff.
Right.
And just didn't like it. It was like, you know, creepy and weird, and she quit that. But then she found out about the wonderful world of being a dominatrix, and it's fucking awesome. Any of you chicks out there?
Can I read it after?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome.
Any of you chicks out there that want to make money in the sex trade, do this shit. It's awesome. Basically, you're totally in control. You don't have to get naked. You don't even have to touch the guys if you don't want to, and they will love it. There's people that will pay you enormous amounts of money just to yell at them, to slap them with stuff, to just... basically treat them like shit and tie them up and kick them around and yell at them for an hour, and you get paid as well, if not better than, like prostitutes, and you never have to have sex.
And it's pretty clean. Did you ever see Sid and Nancy?
No.
Oh, no. There's an awesome dominatrix chick in that movie. I can't remember her name. But yeah, it reminds me exactly of that. She's like just beating the shit out of this guy. Get your own little dungeon happening. I'm thinking about it. I need a new job. Maybe it's, that just might be it.
It's extremely
people
cool,
would fly from Scotland and Canada to Canada. I don't know, from everywhere to
and
get beaten
if you're
up
good
by
at
me.
It, yeah, it's like people will pay big money for this shit. And you can even get to the point where even if you tell them just like, fuck off, I'm not in the mood to deal with you today, get the fuck out. That's still
$200.
Yeah, exactly. And as long as you don't do that every week, you know, that'll almost be better for them.
It's like your day's off.
Yeah, you're
still getting paid.
Rejected them so fully. And yeah, like that one part I read about the shit part, that was the weird day in her life. Normally,
yeah, that's pretty
it
weird.
Was much, much more, I don't know, it was just, it's amazing how easy the money was she was making and just never had to even touch guys. At best, she wore like gloves and would like, you know, hit them with stuff.
Whips and chains and candle wax.
Yeah.
Any other nipple clamps connected to the ball clamps, in the anal clamps, back into the mouth clamp. I got no more clamps.
So I got an email from my friend Matt.
Okay.
And he has actually become somewhat addicted to the Loggeria.
Really?
Yeah, he's quite enjoying it. And then he listens to some
Thanks,
Keith and the Girl on the side when he needs something else to listen to.
When he needs that burn.
And it's nice to have, you know, the faceless fans, but it's way better when it's people that you actually know and respect their comedic opinion. And
yeah, I have
like,
a friend out there, too,
cool.
who listens to it, like, every time.
So I got an email from Matt. He was talking about, you remember that weird-ass comic book I was talking about last week where the chick was given the handjob through her own ass?
The inside.
Right.
Inside-out porno.
He said, well, here's some fucked up shit that related to your show. There's also piss bukkake.
Oh.
Which is certainly weird.
You just the same effect just with pissing?
Right.
Okay.
And I saw a video of a girl getting fisted by another girl while a guy was fucking her in the ass, and he was saying, rub it. So I think that's as close as you'll get to the comic thing.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah, it's an Asian,
weird.
Of course.
I don't know. Why? Seriously, I could not picture myself in that situation. Like, seriously, take all your life. Picture yourself to a girl fisting you, a guy fucking your ass, and the girl rubbing the guy's cock through the small, thin piece of skin thing.
I'm there.
Oh. Seriously, like... I'd be scared for my life.
So, I was reading the Georgia Strait the other day. It's one of our free newspapers. You'll notice all of my information comes from free newspapers. I don't have 75 cents to spend on
a regular
newspaper.
Paper. You know what, though? Seriously, the newspapers here are like a grade 3 reading level anyway, so you're not missing out.
There's this article in the Georgia Strait about, you know how with credit cards you can get like air miles and various bonus stuff? Well, there was this one credit card supposedly offered by this one bank that was the breast implant body modification credit card, where if you used it, it would give you money toward getting breast implants.
Oh, my God.
And what it actually was then you go to the website to sign up, and it's actually a website promoting awareness of how dangerous breast implants are. And it would, you know, it's like to trick you. It's like, okay, now that you're here, look, we're going to tell you how this is fucked up. But people weren't getting it. They would get emails and people would be upset that they couldn't sign up for the card. Like, how come it's not working? I want the card. And these would actually be like people in legitimate professions and like university students and stuff. And basically what I have to say about that is, Jesus Christ, you whores. This isn't funny anymore. This is fucking pathetic.
It is really pathetic.
Take your $4,000 you're going to spend on getting fake shit put in your chest.
Right.
Goddamn telephone. I'm trying to rant here. Go to a therapist. Go to a psychologist. Something, you
know? I totally agree.
Do some self-esteem therapy. This is fucking sad.
It's so pathetic. My friend, actually, she lives in Calgary. She works for this Italian restaurant or whatever. This is like the sickest thing I've ever heard. Well, not the sickest, but pretty fucking sick. She is 16 years old. Her parents own this Italian restaurant, whatever. She's 16 years old, just got implants. 16.
Christ.
I was told that you're not even supposed to, like, even think about that till you're after, like, 23, you know, 24, when your body stops growing. 16 years old. That's, like, grade 10.
Christ, that is insane. That is so fucking insane.
I think of myself in grade 10, and I was trying to hide the huge boobs that I had.
Yeah,
like sick.
Because you had the reduction. That makes sense.
Yeah,
and I was
like,
even
let's
thinking,
get it out.
There are times if you have, like, say you're in an accident or something happened where, like, one of your breasts is, like, the wrong size.
Yeah, like cancer or something like that. I understand.
So maybe to make them look both the same, you might get one built up or something.
Or but, fix them.
Yeah, but cosmetic just to have bigger boobs. Even and then you get these chicks that are, like, you know, they don't want Pam Anderson boobs. They just want to be a little bigger. Fuck you. You need a little bit more fucking bigger ego is what you need.
Yeah,
you need some fucking self-worth here.
Some self-esteem. You don't need... And those fucking, like, extreme makeover shows and all that. Like, Man, like, seriously, like, they round up 12 girls and whoever's the ugliest gets to look pretty at the end. Like, okay, you know, this is setting the women's movement back like 40 years here.
So basically, get confident, stupid. That's my advice.
Find stuff that you like and just do that. Focus on something, not what you don't have. Focus on what you have.
Not to mention that I don't even want more women walking around with huge tits. It's hard enough to fucking, you know,
deal with the boobs in reality. We don't need this alternate boob world existing.
I got enough boobs to try to pretend I'm not looking at. I don't need more.
Friday, May 19th, 11 o'clock, heading out the door to protest the movie at the Yucca Valley Theater Complex right now, today. Don't show up, then you're lukewarm. God will spit you out of his mouth. They can kick Jesus Christ. They can be Antichrist, and you don't care. Okay, you ain't protesting the movie, and at the closest theater next to your home or church, okay, fine. Then on Judgment Day, God will spit you out of the mouth. You say, oh, Lord, I believe in you. Oh, Lord, no, I'm not one of yours. No, you didn't stand up for me. You were lukewarm. You make me sick. You're taking this movie laying down. My Bible is on the job. Calling churches all morning. JCACW has put out a national alert. Bible James Weber and myself, we got on the cell phone. We're on the job. We're going to protest the movie all this afternoon, Friday, opening at the Yucca Valley at 2 p.m. today, right near Sears in Yucca Valley, the only theater complex in the whole high desert. Repent.
I found out that someone hates me at work. It was awesome.
So what did you do to bring on this hate?
Well, I didn't really do anything. That's the funny thing. I was talking to another girl, and there's this other girl who actually now hates me sitting there. And I was talking to the one girl, and we were talking about blessing her house because she had like an East Indian boyfriend, and they had to do this house blessing or something. And I was like, I'm like, that's kind of creepy. And she's like, yeah, I don't really care. I'm Catholic. And I was like, yikes, you're Catholic? Like, I was like, and she didn't really care. She's laughing. She's like, well, I don't really know much about it. I was just born into it, right? And I was like, well, then you're not Catholic. And I was just arguing with her about how bad Catholics are. I'm like, you priests, you know, raping little kids. They don't care. All about money. You know, it's just a horrible, horrible religion. Condones women, sex, whatever, you know. It's just a bad thing. And this one girl, like, across, she's like, well, I'm Catholic, and I'm not like that. And I was like, I bet you're
a barrel of fucking laughs.
I know. I'm just thinking, okay, I know you're having sex. I know, like, I'm like, you're so Catholic right now. I didn't say that. But then she got up and walked away. And then she came back, and I'm like, you know, I didn't mean to make you mad or anything. I'm just saying, like, the religion's bad. I'm not saying the individual people. I'm not condoning you. I never said nothing about you. And she's like, I was like, I was laughing at this point. I was like, just come over here and hit me, you know? Like, I'm sorry, right? And she's like, I already do. I'm like, you already hit me? She's like, no, I already hate you. And I was like, oh. I just was like, awesome. And then I just walked away.
Bill Hicks had a bit that just like, sums up how fucking dumb religious people are about when you do religious jokes and like fucking backward ass southern states, right? And then after the show, people would be like, hey buddy, you know, we're Christian, we don't like what you just said. So he'd say, so forgive me, you know. They never do. They just get all upset.
I know. I just got like reamed out. This chick's like a mega, she's just like mega evil. She's like,
I really think religion had its place when people were ignorant and stupid, you know, 1,000 fucking years ago or more. But basically it's just an awkward amalgamation of primitive philosophy and primitive psychology put together back when people didn't have the social, you know, networks available to them to learn about the real thing. So they needed something, right? Some way to explain stuff. But it's over now. There's no more need for that shit.
We got it all figured out. Yeah. There's no... Yeah.
Or like if you go way, way back. If you go way, way back, you know, and you got like thunderstorms, you know. If I was 3,000 years ago and there was a thunderstorm, I would think that something fucked up was going on in the sky too. You know, like, I'd believe in gods and stuff, sure. But it's not 3,000 years ago. There's no more excuse for this.
We figured out that it comes from the ground. It's electrical current. The hot meets the cold. The sky is blue from... You know, prisms in the sky.
I was
the ocean moves because of the wind.
I was having a little discussion with my friend Vince, who is the only religious guy I know that I actually like.
Whoa, Vince!
And my friend Greg, who was just confused deeply about many things. So,
right.
Greg was like, and this is a grown man in his early 20s, mid 20s, maybe. And
a mid-grown man.
And this is the kind of thing you should ask yourself when you're 8 years old. But he had only finally got to this point. He's like, so if heaven exists and it's in the sky, then where is it? Like, they've been into outer space and they didn't find it. So my answer was...
It's a different plane of reality.
Well, that's what Vince's answer was. Mine was, it doesn't exist. What are you, fucking 6 years old? What are you talking about? Where is heaven? What the fuck? It's a story someone made up, you know? It's like, Jesus Christ.
It's all just made up.
But then, yeah, Vince gave him the alternate, you know, plane of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but,
that's why there's ghosts. There's got to be something. I had the awesomest pin once. I got it from, like, this witch's brew store in, like, Saskatoon. It just was, like, a simple blue pin. It just said recovering Catholic in white, and I put it on my backpack just to symbolize, like, everything, like, my decline from the Catholic religion, like, not going to Catholic school, getting harassed by teachers. It was great. Everyone used to just pick on me for it. Like, old ladies were like, what's that for? Uh-huh, I go to church every day. What do you got against me, huh? And I'm just like...
You're a fucking cunt!
Look at you! Just, why are you asking me? Just accept it. There's differences in the world.
That's like the bad religion hoodie. It's just that standard bad religion, you know.
I love that.
The no and the cross. I just forget that I'm wearing it because it's just, you know, got to wear something. And
right.
Like these old people will just be like burning holes through me with their stares. And
once all the old people are dead, like kill off like our parents to like all the older or like above that. Maybe I'd say like 40 and up now. You're pretty much weeding out most of the religion. It's not going to be around.
I am worried,
though,
that
our kids won't really be religious.
It's just never going to completely go. Like, it doesn't matter how far into the future we are. We're going to be on other planets and stuff, and there's just going to be people that will just refuse. I mean, I guess that's the whole point of it, is that it's the faith beyond reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, where does that stop? It never does.
I just have nothing to say. Like, every time I've had a person in power... like a religious power, like around me or anything like that, like priests, principals, Catholic teachers, because I went to Catholic school my whole life. They're all corrupt. They're evil.
Yeah.
Like my sister broke her arm once, like broke her arm in the schoolyard. We had a principal who was like almighty Catholic God, right? Like, you know, no sinner, you know what I mean? Just always preaching to everyone. And he was almost like a priest, I think. And we went in the school. My sister's bone is sticking out of her arm. Like, it's an open fracture. It's broken in two places, one at the top, one at the bottom. We walk in there. I'm like, excuse me, like, can I use the phone? Like, my sister's screaming. Like, it's obvious there's something wrong, right? And the teacher's like, no, I locked the office already. You can't. I'm like, well, you have a key, right? Like, I'm in grade four, and I have more reason than a 40-year-old man.
Right.
I'm like, how do you argue when you're 10 years old with a 40-year-old man about a child's arm who was broken? Like... it just shows the intelligence level there. He wouldn't let us call. He would not drive us home. He would not allow an ambulance to come to school.
Why?
My sister's screaming. Like, we live six blocks away, six, 7 blocks. And I had to. It was like a fall day, right? I took my hoodie off, made it into a sling, tied it around her arm, and carried her home where my mom and dad were absolutely livid. Like, they could not believe that actually happened. My mom was like, you know, you're serious. Like, why didn't you call? I'm like, we weren't allowed. What do you mean you weren't allowed? Like, how do you, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm the one trying to mediate all this. And, like, my mom raised a huge stink with the Catholic school board, pulled my sister out of school.
I think that's one thing that...
like, what the fuck is that?
That's something that amazes me when people just take it for granted that religious people, you know, do good. Because if they ever do something good, it's by accident, you know? It could have just as easily been something bad. Like, there is no...
oh, there's... yeah, I've had many, many a times.
You know, maybe you'll help people in the third world, or maybe you'll feed people to lions.
But
who knows?
I learned a trick, though, as I got older, you know, fucking with the Catholic world and or the religious people. Because I was in high school, and I used to wear, like, seriously, like, ripped up clothes. Like, just put Kurt Cobain on me. That's what I look like. People used to tell me I look like Kurt. Cut your hair. You look like Kurt Cobain. You know, shit like that, right? So anyways.
If Kurt Cobain had enormous, massive tits that needed surgical reduction.
Yeah, well, if that happened, right? Well, I tried to look like him. You know, like,
you think that
was my idol, I guess.
Cheered up Kurt Cobain if he had
he was like,
tits?
Oh, cool. That's not a girl's body name. Awesome. Anyways, yeah, so... I would wear ripped up jeans and, like, you know, cardigan sweaters with, like, marker shirts that I'd make, like, Catholic suck or whatever. Whatever. I used to write shit all the time. Jocks, you know, suck and stupid shit like that, but...
Catholic jocks rule.
Catholic jocks rule. This kind of school, anyways. No, so, and the principal comes up to me one day and he's like, you actually, you know, can't wear those jeans in school. Have you read the handbook? Have you read the handbook? It says no ripped or torn jeans. And there really was a handbook that said no ripped or torn jeans.
Right.
And I just looked at him dead in the eye and I was like, would Jesus persecute me if I couldn't afford, you know, fancy Levi's or Akita lockup jeans or, you know, Guess? I'm like, would Jesus come down from heaven and say, no, Aaron, you cannot wear those fucking jeans? No, he wouldn't. He'd be happy that I had clothes.
Did you not read the handbook?
And like, yeah, did you not read the handbook, Aaron? Hello? It's on page 4. Take those pants off. No. Jesus wouldn't persecute. Religion would not do this. This is not the way you run something.
And if anything, since back in Jesus' days, the New Testament hadn't been written yet, wasn't he basically saying, fuck the old handbook, fuck the Old Testament?
Yeah.
You know, he was all about saying, fuck the handbook.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going for. And then one time in gym, I had the same sort of jeans, put them in my little locker. I came out, and they were gone. My shirt was gone and my pants were gone. I had like a Nirvana shirt and I said like Satan worshiping, you know, like motherfuckers or I don't know. But it was awesome. But I got it. My clothes were gone.
Jesus.
The teacher would not admit to doing it. Nobody else would take my clothes. Who would take my clothes? I had the key. Who else had the key? The teacher had the key. The combination. It was a combination, not a key.
Right. Man.
You know what I mean? She stole my fucking clothes.
I wish these things were hard to believe, but it's not at all. You know? It's like, Jesus.
This happened. These are supposed to be good people, leading good lives, teachers, principals. Nope. They're all a bunch of cock-sucking lunatics.
Well, that's one thing I found extremely fascinating about this guy Vince I know, who's the only religious guy that I actually like, is we basically came down to, once you stop arguing about, you know, the big fundamentals, like me and you were talking about earlier, where you get your isms and your little groups, and
right. It's
just silly. You end up arguing for your group, and you don't even realize that you maybe agree and that you see things, you know, similarly, because you're just fighting for your stupid group. I'm very opposed to that. I think any group is absurd, to put anything above yourself as an individual. But me and Vince talked about it enough to realize that we have many similar views about the world and about what it means to be a good person, and that it's important to try to be a good person and like what positive morality is. But he couldn't wrap his head around the concept without having religion to fall back on. Like, what's the point of being a good person except in this religious realm?
Like serving this person.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Whereas for me, it's just...
be a good person.
You just think it through. It comes down to just the basic logic of reality of here's how it is, here's where we are, here's what we've got, and what makes sense. You know, does it make sense to fuck people over? Does it make sense to try to not be an asshole? You know, you can really work it all out.
It's pretty basic.
That's one big thing
that you learned when you were a kid.
That's one thing that chick Ayn Rand was big into, was the fact that you could basically scientifically determine what is morally right and what is morally wrong. She went way too far with it. She was fucking off her rocker. But the basic idea of it, I liked, is that you don't need to look for some higher moral authority. You just think it through, you know? Does this make sense or does it not? And there you go. But her, she had this, like, this. Her whole thing was radical individualism. And she had this little group she started called Objectivism. And even as a 16-year-old kid reading her book, it only took me about 2 weeks to figure that out, that was stupid. I was like, well, what are you talking about? A group of individualists? Yeah, that makes sense. That's going to work. So that was pretty much even the individualists, I was not willing to join their group. So fuck all your groups. Fuck all your isms. I don't care what you think you are. Your Judaism, your fucking Rastafarianism, your
paganism,
Christianity. Yeah,
Satanism,
I don't care what
atheism
you're affiliated with. You're fucking stupid to affiliate yourself with anything.
Just be yourself.
That's right.
Just be yourself. I'm special. You gotta be special in this world. Or else you don't get anywhere.
Be yourself unless yourself wears ripped jeans and Nirvana shirts.
Yeah.
I got one little thing to end off with.
Awesome.
This is actually one of the antithesis of Kurt Cobain, Mr. Axl Rose. Did you ever hear the story about how when Axl was still, you know, it is Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, early 90s, top of his game, and, you know, Kurt Cobain and was coming in to destroy all that old shit. And at backstage at some award thing or something, I don't know, Courtney Love was being kind of mouthy, and Axl Rose.
Really?
And Axl Rose.
Kurt, get over here, come on, I said now.
Supposedly, she was mouthing off to Axl Rose a bit, and Axl was like, just ignored her, and goes to Kurt, he's like, you better tell your bitch to shut up. Kurt was just laughing. He's like, okay, bitch, you better shut up. You know?
Fuck you, Axl Rose.
Because if there was one relationship where the man was not wearing the pants, it was Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, no.
But all that being said, basically, the first musician I ever got big into was Weird Al when I was a kid, right?
Really?
But then, I loved Weird Al. I had all of his shit. Then I moved on to Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses was the first real band that I really listened to, and then it just exploded into everything from there.
I don't need your civil war.
What we've got here is
a failure to communicate.
So that was when I was in the 7th grade, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. I mean, most people will go for the old Appetite for Destruction, but for me it was all about Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
I like Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 as well. But it was like grade 8 for me because I was a year younger than you.
So I thought they were fantastic. And that was actually a very formative year for me, grade 7, because in elementary school I had the same class for 6 years. We were all in French school, all the same kids each year. I was awesome friends with everybody. Then I went to this junior high school and none of my friends were in my class. And it was horrible. I was getting picked on by people. Not like physical, just the social exclusion, right? And that's basically, I think that's where the seed of my complete contempt for all authority began. Because it was the whole thing of like, you tell the teachers, you tell your parents, you tell the principal. It doesn't matter. No one's coming to save you, you know? You gotta just take shit into your own hands.
Right.
So it was a memorable year in many ways. And Guns N' Roses was definitely the soundtrack for that year. So, I've missed Guns N' Roses, basically. I mean, there's been all these Slash's Snake Pit and Izzy said the Juju Hounds and some other solo shit. Duff even did a solo album. And they all sucked. Even Velvet Revolver.
Yeah.
They're medium okay at best. They're by far the best post-Guns N' Roses thing, but they still ain't great, right? So I downloaded the other day a bunch of the demos from Chinese Democracy of Axl Rose stuff, which basically it's still called Guns N' Roses, but it's not. It's the Axl Rose solo thing, right? It's been 15 years in the making. But there's this one song called There Was a Time, I'm going to put it at the end of the show, that is just like, it's like how, you know, how nobody can write a song that sounds like a NoFX song except Fat Mike. It's the same thing with this. This totally brought me back. This one song is totally like a Use Your Illusion song, right back to like grade 7. The Axl Rose, the whole like bullshit solos, even though it's not Slash anymore, but it's just like a Guns N' Roses song. And it was like a time warp. I was like, oh man, you know what, Axl Rose, I know you're a big douchebag and you're a retard and you got stupid facelift and you look like an alien and you're basically a moron, but all is forgiven.
At best, a moron.
But in my, as far as I'm concerned, all is forgiven, Axl Rose. Come on home. Give us your solo album.
Mama, I'm coming home.
The world as I see it misses your presence.
We need
some
Axl. Do you remember there's like an Axl a Guns N' Roses riot here in Vancouver?
Yeah. And one dude like got his teeth busted out by some crazy...
Because they decided not to play? Is that what happened?
Yeah, he just didn't show up or something. He's a fucking dickhead.
So everyone went crazy? Thanks, Axl.
But that one song is so good that, man, my money is on the new Guns N' Roses, the Axl side project. This is going to be...
The shiznizzle of a dizzle?
Yeah, this is going to be the champion, I think. I mean, Guns N' Roses is done. There's no doubt about that. But this is going to be the shit. Awesome. Loggeria. Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye.